cool podcast about something where each week we dive deep into whatever it is we find interesting. I'm your host, Calvin, and joining me from, 17th century Massachusetts, it's your co-host, Nick Richardson.
Aye, sir. I'm here in the state of Massachusetts.
I had to like do the math on how the centuries worked because I couldn't remember if it was one more or one less than. It's the 1690s.
I never got that shit. 1692 specifically.
Yeah, because we are talking about the Salem witch trials.
You heard.
Now, before we get into it, I would like to say we were supposed to be talking about the OSS, which is America's first spy agency, the precursor to the CIA. And there just wasn't that much fun stuff to talk about on it. And because I wanted to like cover the I read this Cracked article like 2 years ago that talked about all these dumb things that they tried. And I wanted to find more of those and talk about those kinds of things. And they don't publish a lot of that information, apparently. They don't want that many people to find out about the dumb shit they did back in the, 1940s.
Yeah, they're probably yes, nah, no thanks.
It would have just been talking about, like, World War II spying, and that's not fun for me.
I mean, we've all seen Inglourious Bastards. We know how it is.
Exactly.
It's exciting. Trust me.
And we've done a podcast on spies already.
Yeah.
So that goes right there. We wanted the spy fuck-ups here, and we just couldn't find enough on it. So we pivoted late in the game to the Salem witch trials, which has always been somewhat fascinating to me and just like an intriguing part of time, like piece of history that people were this stupid.
Dude.
So I kind of wanted to look deeper into it to kind of see how that happened.
Honestly, this shit infuriated me. It was just like, made me so fucking frustrated.
Yeah, that was rough.
Well, I mean, everyone was just bananas. Just going bananas. Reminds me of something.
This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Is that what it reminds you of?
I said that like probably 7 or 8 times, and my coworker was like, will you shut the fuck up?
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
It's like, oh, sorry, my bad.
Salem witch trials. Yeah. The Salem witch trials were a series of hearings and prosecutions and persecutions of people accused of witchcraft in colonial Massachusetts between February 1692 and May 1693. Over a year of this shit. But of course, it also took like a month to travel from like 12 miles, so I could see how that works.
Yeah, to like towns nearby and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The grand juries and trials for this capital crime were conducted by a court of oyer and terminer in 1692 and by a superior court of judicature in 1693, both held in Salem Town, where the executions would eventually take place as well. It was the deadliest witch hunt in the history of colonial North America.
I mean, that's saying something.
Makes sense.
There's been brutal witch hunts, the likes of which have never been seen before.
Yes, this is where that term originated. Apparently, 14 other women and 2 men had been executed in Massachusetts and Connecticut during the 17th century. So we're not going to talk about how many, because we're going to talk about how many were killed later, but it's more than 16 people were executed for the Salem witch trial. So out of all of the 17th century, only 16 other people had been executed in this area.
So that's a lot.
That just for like other reasons than witchcraft, right?
It's basically like, yeah, I can't make that. I can't make that comparison. Yep. Never mind.
The episode is one of colonial America's most notorious cases of mass hysteria. It has been used in political rhetoric, as Nick so eloquently pointed out a few minutes ago, and popular literature as a vivid cautionary tale about the dangers of isolationism, religious extremism, false accusations, and lapses in due process.
Yeah, they have all that shit in spades in the old town of Salem.
Yeah,
they really knew how to do
it. Are you buying the mass hysteria here?
Am I?
Like that it took over and people really believed?
No, dog, it's the devil, for sure.
Definitely the devil, okay.
Yeah, he was out here. He put a spell on you. And you're the devils.
So this was not a unique case, but a colonial American example of the much broader phenomenon of witch trials in the early modern period, which took place also in Europe. So that this was also going on in other places. Europe, with their puritanical roots, also had some witch trials and witch hunts going on.
They were more brutal, man. They fucking burn people over there.
Yeah, and I mean, as we see in the historical context of WandaVision, some people tried to burn some witches in Salem too.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't let you know that though. I mean,
Agatha fucked those guys up, so it doesn't really matter.
I mean, it was her all along, though. Her all along.
I guess spoilers for WandaVision. Many historians consider the lasting effects of the trials to have been highly influential in subsequent United States history, which, thank God, that, like, we've seemingly learned from that for the most part. For the most part.
It's gotten pretty close. If we weren't all liberal sinners, then I think we'd have them pretty regularly, but unfortunately...
Well, so this is kind of what I'm talking to. According to the historian George Lincoln Burr, which, like, great name there for a historian. You got George, like, all-time great old guy researcher name. You got George Washington, King George, you know, every old person in history is named George. Lincoln, very influential figure in American history. If you don't know about Lincoln, look it up. And then Burr, you know, Aaron Burr, yeah. Shot. Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah.
He was vice president for a little while. So, like, to be named George Lincoln Burr, you've got to be a historian.
Well, he's a notorious dick, too. So, I mean, you got...
Aaron Burr or George Lincoln Burr?
Aaron Burr.
Yeah.
So you got two super dope American people, and then you got that dickhead.
So this historian said the Salem witchcraft was the rock on which theocracy was shattered. And to me, that makes sense. These trials were conducted by these kind of kangaroo courts of sorts, mostly done by church leaders. It's easy to see how, at that point, basing your government on religious ideals is going to quickly spiral into something like this. When everything is, well, anything bad that happens has to be the devil's work, you're going to find the devil's work a lot.
Oh, yeah, a whole lot. You take a bad shit, it's the devil.
Yeah.
You know, and, I mean, yeah. It's not good. Not a good time there.
Yeah, and there's no real checks or balances for the church or its leaders and you know, all of that church's power at the time. Regular citizens basically had the thought process of, well, this dude works for God, so they must be right. And that's kind of how this spiraled out of control.
Yeah, one might call it a banana republic, even.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
It's bananas.
Is it a Batman Republic?
It's a Banana Republic.
B-A-N-A-S.
Batman shops at Banana Republic.
Well, I don't, but I know this guy, Bruce Wayne. Pretty cool guy. He shops there a lot.
He wanted to know if you have this in black.
Banana Republic has a lot of khaki. That's why I don't like it.
Black khaki. Blacky.
So it's just black, then.
Yes.
So let's move into our five fundamental somethings about Salem witch trials. We're going to talk about how many witches they caught, which groups of people were most affected by the trials, and kind of who they went after and why. Why did they think these people were witches? That's another point we're going to make. How did they determine that the people were actually witches, the people who were accused? And lastly, got a lot of notes there, what did they do with the quote-unquote witches once they caught them? We got a lot to dig into here. So, Nick, do you have any research on how many people they actually caught or were accused?
You know, a super minimal amount of research in regards to that. And by that, I mean a butt ton. So, technically more than...
tons of butts.
I mean, tons of witch butts. One might find those quite disgusting. I don't know what I'm talking about. More than 200 people were accused officially. 30 were found guilty.
Yes, 30 were found guilty.
So technically, they caught a lot more, around 100 to 150. But like you said, kangaroo courts. So, you know, they had a little loophole they could use to get out of a bit of punishment.
Well, it was more just like, well, this girl said that this other lady's spirit visited her. So, yeah, we're going to arrest them. Better safe than sorry.
Well, I mean, they had spectral evidence, dude. Do you need more?
I guess I just got that the arrests were made in numerous towns beyond Salem and Salem Village to get those 200, because like Salem's not that big of a town. So there were some witches bust in from Andover and Topsfield just to kind of push those numbers up.
We need some shit over here. Magic's, you know, familiar stat.
Democrats needed more votes, so they brought the witches in from nearby Andover and Topsfield.
Well, I heard in Andover and Topsfield, they made it really hard to vote.
Yeah, yeah, so it was.
Witches are notoriously voting, thirsty.
Lines really, really long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't give them any water because they're witches. No water. You might be a witch too.
Well, they would melt. If you gave them water, they would melt, so that's why they outlawed the giving of water in the lines.
So you can piss water. They're all about the piss in you know, 1690s America. So let's put a little pee in that.
That'll heal you right up.
That or you're
a witch.
So
which groups were most affected by these trials?
Say that again?
Which groups were most affected by the trials?
Women.
Women.
Yeah, like 78% accused were women. Shopping.
Yeah.
So that was sick, bro. That was a good one.
So to go along with that, throughout their daily lives, Puritans, especially Puritan women, actively attempted to thwart attempts by the devil to overtake them and their souls. So the women are kind of like putting themselves out there to be possessed. And the Puritans held the belief that men and women were equal in the eyes of God, but not in the eyes of the devil. So that's why women were targeted more often. Women's souls were seen as unprotected in their weak and vulnerable bodies, which, yeah, for sure. Devil's got it right.
It's like y'all are weak and vulnerable.
I'm just kidding, women. Feminism.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I mean, get out of here with that hippie bullshit, Calvin.
Several factors may explain why women were more likely to admit guilt to witchcraft than men. Historian Elizabeth Rice asserts that some likely believed they had truly given in to the devil, and others might have believed they had done so temporarily. However, because those who confessed were reintegrated into society, some women might have confessed in order to spare their lives. Oh, no shit? That's what you think happened, historian? People are just like, oh, hey, that lady confessed and she got to go back to her life. I'm going to do the same.
Right? And I have to name someone? That's it? Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool, but fuck you.
That's also why 200 people were accused, right? To get off a lot of these people, as they confessed, they had to admit that other people were there. So it was kind of a one-for-one deal. The kangaroo courts were not going to just be like, all right, you can go. We're not going to be wrong on this.
Psych.
They needed to give somebody else. But, you know, as the Crucible teaches us, John Proctor would not put his name, sign his name to it. Take my freedom, but leave me my name. Daniel Day-Lewis going all out in the Crucible, everyone.
I ain't no bitch.
We're going to talk about the Crucible later. Don't worry, everyone who's here strictly for Crucible input, we got it coming.
I mean, you got it coming.
I have read and seen the Crucible more than anyone ever should do either of those things. So.
Yo, is it a movie, too?
Yeah, I told you, Winona Ryder.
Oh, yeah.
Get a
you
boob
got my
in the first 30 seconds, yeah.
With the breasts.
Yeah. Winona Ryder boob in the first 30 seconds of the Crucible. Daniel Day-Lewis just, like, totally going over the top throughout the whole movie. That's really all that's interesting. The principal from Ferris Bueller's Day Off is in there too. I know he's a pedophile now, but like he was
is
there.
Is he really?
Yeah. Yeah.
No shit.
I mean, I think he was always a pedophile, but like he got convicted not too long ago.
I did not know that. That is terrifying. Good thing I've never watched that movie. I don't support pedophiles.
The Crucible or Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Whoever that guy is.
You're missing out. So also quarrels with neighbors often incited witchcraft allegations. So your goat is on my land. I'm going to call you a witch. Yeah, again, that's going to happen. One example of this is Abigail Faulkner, who was accused in 1692. Faulkner admitted she was angry at what folks said, and the devil may have temporarily overtaken her, causing harm to her neighbors. Women who do not conform to the norms of Puritan society were more likely to be a target of an accusation, especially those who are unmarried and do not have children. Oh!
Oh, you single ladies?
Who would have thunk that?
Oh, you single ladies?
The poor women and the women who aren't married, they're going to be the ones being called witches. That's weird. Never would have thought that.
With opinions and self-confidence and respect.
No, they're just social outcasts. Nobody wants to accuse the... It's easy to accuse the social outcast, right? Because nobody's going to take her word over this married, upstanding woman.
I mean, Someone might. Not likely, though, as we learned.
Not the church folk in colonial America.
Yeah, they don't play that bullshit.
Did you have any prominent figures who were accused?
I mean, one of the most prominent, in my opinion, was George. Fucking Josh, you know, that 1690s jive talk came
back. That's how they pronounced it back then.
George Burroughs was a Puritan minister, and he was indicted and executed in Salem
in
1692. I mean, he was literally the minister of Salem. This was everyone's fucking homie, and they straight up killed him. Like, that's unreal.
I think I read that was one of those neighborly squabbles too, right? Is like that there was a lot of political upheaval in the town of Salem. Like
there's like competing families.
Right, and the ruling families, like whoever the mayor and the head of the church was, like they didn't get along with these other prominent families. So the prominent families would often like talk shit about the people who were running the town, and the people who were running the town would talk shit about the rich people. And so it was very easy for these quarrels to overtake each other and to kind of start throwing stones at glass houses.
Well, I mean, it all started with a land dispute. It's like, yes. Yo, you're over the line, bro. And it just kind of went from there. And people out here dying.
I wanted to mention was Dorothy Good, who was only four or five years old when she was accused of witchcraft. What did a fucking four-year-old do to you to be like, yeah, that bitch?
And then she rolled on her mom.
She's the one. Well, I would, too.
I mean, yeah.
I'm 4 years old and I need to get out of this? Yeah, sorry, it was my mom's fault.
Poor Elizabeth, though. She was fucking pregnant.
Goody Good. That's what they called them all. At least in the Crucible they do. They call them all Goody.
Psych. Fucking devil worshippers.
Why did they think these people were witches?
Because some young ladies flopped around on the floor and said...
Bitches.
Oh, dude. This is fucking infuriating. They said that they were attacked by the manifestation of said person, even though they didn't really have many details, while they were sleeping or just standing there. They're like, I'm getting fucking attacked. Oh my god, you can't see anything though. I'm not moving much.
Well, yeah, and a doctor even came and checked them out and was like, nah, they're cool. We're good.
Yeah, there's physically nothing wrong with them, but the devil might be around. It's like she sold it really well though. She even pissed herself. Fucking flopped all over, and she got some people riled up. Several of these young ladies did.
Well, so Elizabeth Hubbard, a 17-year-old, was like the ringleader of it all, and then
I thought it was Abigail Williams.
So she was there too, and Betty Paris. So Abigail Williams is Winona Ryder's character in The Crucible, but Abigail and Betty were the first two to kind of start throwing accusations, but I think Elizabeth Hubbard kind of became the ringleader of everything as being the oldest that was in there. So these two are the daughter and the niece of Reverend Samuel Paris, and they began to have these fits described as beyond the power of epileptic fits or natural disease by the minister of the nearby town of Beverly, John Hale. Girls screamed, threw things about the room, uttered strange sounds, crawled under furniture, and contorted themselves into peculiar positions. Complained of being pinched and pricked with pins, and then the doctor checked them out. But like, at no point did anyone go like, these girls are faking. Just making this shit up.
I guarantee if my wife was there at the time, she would have been like, because she used to, they call them pseudo seizures. And she'd see that all the time in her profession, and the way she explains
I fully believe this stuff exists.
Oh, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but the sheer unbelievability of most of these people. So like 97% of people, she was like, yeah, I knew as soon as they started doing it that was they're fucking,
you could tell which one was faking and which ones were real. Right.
So it's, you know,
well, and so like it always makes me think, I believe it was The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Is that the one where she the college girl?
Yeah. Fuck that movie.
And like, I always think about that movie. My college girlfriend made me watch it because I don't really like horror movies. But, like, I always think how weird it would be. Like, you're a college dude, and this girl just, like, starts having these seizures where her body gets contorted into ways it shouldn't. Like, I don't know that I think she's possessed with the devil, but I wouldn't be dating her anymore for sure. Like, I'm at 20 years old, I am not equipped to handle that.
Yeah, right, dude. At 20, you're like, okay, this is presenting all new opportunities for me. All
right, we're going to wait till you're in the middle of a fit.
And then we're going to get it. Sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's bad. So here's what I'm thinking. I very highly doubt that they were actually possessed by the devil, right? So let's put that out there. It's possible they're faking, right? Just completely 100% bullshit. Like, these are just young girls. They're trying to have some fun. You know, the Crucible sets it up as they got caught doing this dancing and fake kind of...
gyrating with their hips.
Well, yeah, the dancing was outlawed at the time in the area, and they're out in the woods dancing, and the movie makes it look like there's this this sacrificial ritual going on with Tituba, which we'll talk about Tituba in a little bit. But so they got the movie and the play show them getting caught doing that. So then they kind of go into the state as a reaction to that, to like maybe try and keep themselves out of trouble. And I think, like, it's a little bit of that, and it just kind of spirals out of their control. And once people start believing them, they're going to keep going. They have this little bit of power, and they're just going to kind of grasp onto it. But, like, could this also be, you know, early signs of schizophrenia, things like that, where they are having these reactions? And in 1600s, nobody knows what the fuck schizophrenia is.
No, I mean, by definition, schizophrenia, that's witchcraft.
Well, exactly.
Duh.
So are you thinking along that line of it's something mental health related, or is it just they're full of shit?
I'm leaning more towards they are full of shit, like, which could have, you know, a mental health connotation for the soul effect, like the attention seeking stuff like that.
Right, kind of borderline personality disorder type stuff, rather than like actual. I mean, that's an actual mental health
being
disorder.
Sociopaths, maybe, like, yeah. The complete lack of empathy they have for the. I mean, it's a small community.
Well, they know going in that accusing someone of being a witch is, like, basically the death penalty. So
it's going to ruin their lives even if they don't die. So it's – you're really fucking some people over here. And, you know, I feel like an 11-year-old – I'm just going with what's-her-face's age.
Abigail Williams, yeah.
Yes. If you – you'd think she should have a little empathy, but especially being Puritan, apparently not. They're cold.
Yeah, and I think, like, maybe it starts out as, like, a way to, you know, put a dagger in some of these family squabbles that are going on, and then I think it started as something smaller. It was either they're messing around, or they have these family squabbles that they're kind of trying to, you know, do the Thanos snap on. I just want to end this shit. And so they do this, and then it just kind of spirals out of their control because other young women in the village start to do the same thing. You know, either they're in on the joke, or this is kind of where the idea of mass hysteria takes over, or they see, okay, this girl got a little bit of power from accusing this person. Let me start doing it. It's not that hard to fake, you know, what's going on, to fake these kind of fits.
Well, and at the same time, once those people got snatched up by the Puritan Gestapo, their shit was like free, you know, free reign. You could just come take it.
Right. People, so, man, you say, all right, my neighbor's got some stuff I want. They won't let me borrow it. All right, you're a witch. I'm done.
Fucking, like, Tobias has that snowblower I'm trying to get. Asshole.
Good old Tobias.
Yeah. Timothy.
So I think, like, this kind of reverse placebo effect took place a little bit as well. They see some girls acting this way, so they start doing it more or less, hallucinating their own effects, and because there are proven instances of this working, they're now validated, and then their brain kind of takes the wheel outside of their control and fills in the blanks for them. So these, I don't know that they're fully hallucinating, but they can kind of let their brain go wild a little bit, and your brain can do some pretty crazy shit, especially when there's no other form of entertainment in puritanical Massachusetts, right?
Well, like, you're all dirty and
read the Bible and play with a fucking straw doll. That's all you've got.
Sounds exhilarating.
Yeah, your brain is probably going to do some crazy shit.
I mean, I would go insane if I didn't have toilet paper. Just throwing that out there.
Well, and it's like if you go in, like, the sensory deprivation chambers, right? Your brain
that noise.
No, I wouldn't want to do it either. It'd be very strange. But your brain will start playing tricks on you, and you'll start hallucinating, doing other things. I think there's a bit of that going on where these girls might have actually been experiencing some effects of kind of the hysteria that goes along with it. And because you're validated by the people like Abigail Williams and Betty Paris, you're thinking, okay, I'm actually possessed because they're possessed. And so it turns into this echo chamber of witches be real.
Witches be happening. Well, it'd be a self-fulfilling prophecy, too, because if any 9, 10, 11-year-old girl, shit, even me as a 28-year-old man, if I legitimately thought I was, like, possessed or something, that would terrify me. So I think that would just feed into the performances as well. You know, they kind of subconsciously get started and then are just, you know, get some dry kindling on that fire with fear. Yeah. I can see it being kind of convincing.
Maybe. Exactly. And I've got some specific examples of the type of people who were targeted and why they were targeted, why they were thought to actually be witches. The first three people accused and arrested for afflicting Betty Paris and Abigail Williams and Ann Putnam Jr. and Elizabeth Hubbard were Sarah Good, Sarah Osborne, and Tituba. Tituba was the first. Some historians believe that the accusation of Ann Putnam suggests that a family feud may have been a major cause of the witch trials. At the time, a vicious rivalry was underway between the Putnam and Porter families, one of which deeply polarized the city, the people of Salem. Citizens would often have heated debates, which escalated into full-fledged fighting based solely on their opinion of this feud. So, basically...
I think that shit is hilarious.
Yeah, basically, Ann Putnam didn't like, I believe it was Sarah Osborne, like their family, and so she just threw her under the bus and was like, boom, I got all these people at my back, let's go.
And let's fist fight! Out in the street, a bunch of Puritan people fist fighting. That's probably boring as fuck. No dice.
Sarah Good was a destitute woman accused of witchcraft because of her reputation. At the trial, she was accused of rejecting Puritan ideals of self-control and discipline when she chose to torment and scorn the children instead of leading them towards the path of salvation. So she just started yelling at the kids who were accusing her while she was in her trial. Which, good for her.
Fucking shitheads. I'm gonna die because of you, probably.
I'm on Sarah Good's side here, I think.
I mean, yeah, dude, I'd be fucking pissed.
Sarah Osborne was the next. She rarely attended church meetings. She was accused of witchcraft because the Puritans believed that Osborne had her own self-interest in mind following her remarriage to an indentured servant. Citizens of the town disapproved of her trying to control her son's inheritance from her previous marriage. So they didn't like that she was making her own choices.
Goddamn women making choices for themselves. Unreal, dude.
We shouldn't let them get away with that. Right. And Tituba was the first that was pointed out. She was an enslaved South American Indian woman from the West Indies. Likely became a target because of her ethnic differences from most of the other villagers. She was accused of attracting girls like Abigail Williams and Betty Paris with stories of enchantment from Malleus Maleficarum. These tales about sexual encounters with demons swaying the minds of men and fortune-telling were said to stimulate the imaginations of girls and made Tituba an obvious target of the accusations. And this is kind of where the crucible opens up, is they're all out in the woods and Tituba is kind of leading this ritual and all the girls are trying to cast spells more or less to attract the men or boys that they like. And that's where they get caught and then they start having these fits. But it mostly boiled down, it seemed like, to family feud, class differences, and good old racism
and chicks kind of just being chicks. A lot of chicks just hate each other for some reason. It's really weird.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to that sometimes, and I don't think you can have any bad part of American history without having racism thrown in there,
pretty much.
Now we're gonna get all these right-wing hate mails of trying to teach critical race theory on our podcast here.
I mean, sorry. They hadn't fired him off yet for the first, you know, 15 references we made to their Fuhrer, then I don't think they're gonna.
You guys are assholes. Move on with your lives.
You lost, losers.
So how did they go about determining that people were witches, Nick?
You know, they had really fascinating methods.
Oh, wait. Did you have any other reasons why they thought people were witches?
Really? I think you kind of nailed it on the head.
Yeah. It's always racism.
Well,
And some sexism thrown in there, too.
You're, like, really poor, and you smell a little bit. I don't like that.
Yep. You're a witch. Devil
lady. You're a devil lady.
So how did they go about determining if a person was a witch or not?
Man, they had foolproof ways, my friend. I wish I had the thought process like this, because I would solve so many more problems in my life.
Well,
unreal.
Would you solve problems, or would you come up with answers to problems that aren't really answers to those problems, but they pacify enough people? Answers enough for me.
Yeah. That's all that matters. Fuck everyone else.
That's really what was going on. They weren't solving the problem of witchcraft, but they gave people some executions, and everyone was happy.
Yeah, they're like, okay, people are except entertained. Except the people who died,
of course.
I get that bitch's dress. Fuck, too. So they had things like the swimming test, ooh, which was very... I mean, I think swimming's okay. It's very sweet. But they kind of did a little hanky-panky with it. They took your finger, and they tied it to the opposite toe, and then threw you in a body of water, sometimes in a sack. And if you floated, you were a witch. And if you drowned, you're innocent. So at least your name was cleared, you know?
Good for you.
Yeah. You're really lucky that we cleared your name, okay? Yeah. So don't ask questions. And
just be thankful as you plummet to your death in the shallow lake that you can't swim out of.
Don't you fucking pop up. I swear to God, we'll bash you over the skull. They also had witch cakes.
Ooh, so, witch cakes.
Yeah, witch cakes are fascinating, my friends. So what they are is they are piss cakes, basically. They're witch cakes, piss cakes. So they take just flour and pee of the accused and bake it into a cake and let their kitchen get all piss smell. And then it's going to be fucking witch's piss on the word cloud. And then they fed it to a dog, which would reveal the witch because of their association with the devil.
And at some point during one of these tribunals that came up, they decided that the witch cake was not a good way to determine if someone was a witch, and pretty much said, we can't be going to the devil for help against the devil. So peeing in the cake was not a good way to figure that out. And so they came around on that one, apparently.
Why don't they start there? Just like, yeah, I don't know if that's probably the best way to go about this. Pea cake. Ugh. They also had, if a witch touched the people having these stupid little fits, and they stopped having the fits, then they're all good. You know, no problem. They're witches.
Well, I also feel like that, yeah, if they touch them and they stop having the fits, they're a witch, right? Is that what it is?
Correct.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is pretty easy to fake in that tribunal as well.
Right?
If you know that that's what they're trying to prove and you don't like that lady, as soon as she touches you, you're going to stop.
Well, you'd think you'd at least blindfold them, and apparently that rarely happened.
It says several of the accused later recounted that they were blindfolded, hands were laid upon the afflicted persons, they being in their fits and falling into their fits at our coming into their presence, as they said.
Oh shit,
they led us to lay hands upon them, and then they said they were well and that we were guilty of afflicting them, whereupon we were all seized as prisoners.
Sucker. Man, that would suck. I would just leave, like, fuck all that noise. I would just bounce.
We're gonna talk about what you would do at the end, Nick. Got a whole section on it. It's called what would you do.
I have a lot to say about what I would do.
So usually someone was accused, and then they would they'd be accused, they'd be arrested, then they'd go before some sort of tribunal held by local magistrates. These tribunals led to further accusations and further examinations of community members, because anybody who got accused of being a witch started pointing out other people, obviously. After some concluded that a loss, illness, or death had been caused by witchcraft, the accuser entered a complaint against the alleged witch with the local magistrates. If the complaint was deemed credible, magistrates had the person arrested and brought in for public examination, which they pretty much just said everything was credible. Like, honestly, they weren't turning anyone away.
they were like actively paying people. Like, yeah. Round up some witches, bitches. Get them over here.
If the magistrates at this local level were satisfied that the complaint was well founded, the prisoner was handed over to be dealt with by a superior court in 1692. The magistrates opted to wait for the arrival of a new charter and governor who would establish the court of oyer and terminer to handle these cases. Next step at the superior court level was to summon witnesses before the grand jury, and these witnesses would present evidence in the touch test, or the, yeah, heavy air quotes, touch test was used. The witch cake test was used. Also, spectral evidence was allowed.
My favorite.
Yeah, so this was testimony of the afflicted who claimed to see an apparition or the shape of a person who was allegedly afflicting them. The theological dispute that ensued about the use of this evidence was based on whether a person had to give permission to the devil for his or her shape to be used to afflict. Opponents claimed that the devil was able to use anyone's shape to afflict people, but the court contended that the devil could not use a person's shape without that person's permission. Therefore, when an afflicted person claimed to see the apparition of a specific person, that was accepted as evidence that the accused had been complicit with the devil. So there you go.
They had lots of roundabout
ways. I saw Mary Sue with the devil, therefore she's with the devil.
She's with the devil, for sure.
I've never made up a story. And so that's the other thing. These people just believe them, because why would children lie? Like, they could not fathom that 12-year-olds would just fucking lie to people.
Oh, I mean, fuck. That's like all I did as a 12-year-old was lie about everything.
You are not a 1600s Puritan girl, though, Nick.
Maybe I was. Maybe I was reincarnated as a 28-year-old Midwestern man in 2021.
Other evidence included the confessions of the accused, testimony by the confessed witch who identified other witches, or other people as witches, the discovery of puppets, books of palmistry and horoscopes, or pots of ointments in the possession or home of the accused. So no ointments for you. If you got an ointment, fuck you.
Yeah.
Observation of what were called the witch's teats on the body of an accused is another form of evidence, stupid. Which this is just like a mole or blemish somewhere on the body that was insensitive to touch. Discovery of such insensitive areas was considered de facto evidence of witchcraft.
It was to feed their familiar. So it's like, yeah, you got a mole, you feed animals blood because you're awake. I love the prick test too.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, basically they would poke you, and if you bled, you were a witch.
Oh, that's right.
And if you didn't bleed, you were a witch. So there was this cat.
If you bled, you're a witch, right?
No.
It's always the easiest solution makes you a witch. The thing that's supposed to happen is what makes you a witch.
Well, I'm pretty sure is if you did not bleed, you were a witch, because this dude in Scotland made a fucking killing going around telling people that, and he had a knife with a retractable blade and was like,
so he wouldn't. He'd poke him,
And be like, you're a witch. Like, a shitload of people died because of that.
Person could be indicted on charges of afflicting with witchcraft or making an unlawful covenant with the devil. So that's what they were charging these people for. Once indicted, the defendant went to trial, sometimes on the same day, as in the case of the first person indicted and tried on June 2nd, Bridget Bishop, who was executed 8 days later.
I feel like they just wanted to have her stop talking, because she sounded like a spitfire, and I love her. She sounded great. I found like a book that detailed each individual person's like last couple days.
Is it John Hale's book?
I don't reference
that a lot on Wikipedia. He was like the reverend from the next town over or whatever.
I did find it was more recent
book.
Yeah, and I mean, I did find it through a link on Wikipedia, so I should probably have found that. It was really fascinating though. Apparently, she was just a spitfire, man. Sounded great, and they were like, oh, we gotta shut this lady up. Can't have this. Not 1690.
No way. It always seemed to me that the people running these tribunals pretty much just decided on a whim and kind of these other cultural influences if someone who was accused should be charged or not with being a witch. It was more or less just threw some people's accusations away to seem fair. Like, anybody who they were like, nah, you're not a witch, they were just doing it so they didn't look like they were just wanting to kill everybody.
We're not playing favorites.
Yeah.
But
so
you're
once
cool,
in a while,
though,
they gotta say, no, she's not a witch.
She is kind of hot, so we're not going to.
But her husband, he is a witch, and he's gotta be hanged now.
Yes. Yeah,
so I can call her up after this.
I hear she's rich too. So.
Well, she will be after her husband dies.
Yeah, we gotta make sure. That's the big one. That fucking witch. I can't stand them. They're just, oh, I hate them so much. Especially that one guy.
So, with the people that served on these tribunals, like the judges, more or less, do you think that they actually believed that the accused were possessed, or did they kind of know this was all bullshit and just like the power and influence so much that they kind of kept this ruse going? What do you think about that?
I honestly think they completely believed in this, because if they're judges and magistrates of a Puritan community, they're probably the most pious and at least view themselves as such. So, you know, I think that would equate to just blind faith, really.
Well, and there are a lot of things that the science at the time couldn't explain. So the easy answer was always, well, that's the devil's work. So yeah, I get that. I'm just wondering, like, did they think, like, okay, this same with what I was saying about the girls earlier. Did they think it'd just be like one or two people, and then the whole thing just snowballed out of their control and they couldn't contain it? So like these first two people, yeah, they're witches because they're witches. But after that, you know, they couldn't just stop themselves and lose their positions of power. Now that all these people are being accused, they want to stay at the top of that power totem. And if they didn't, if they were just like, no, none of these other 200 people are witches, their constituents aren't going to like that. They're going to think they're ineffective and like vote them out or claim they're witches. You know?
Kill them. But honestly, I think they enjoyed it. Like a good chunk of them, I think, genuinely enjoyed being this basically like warriors of God, judging demons. They're slaying demons basically in their minds. Right. So I think they fucking got off on that.
But I think it's part, like, at the beginning, they thought they were helping. They thought they were doing the Lord's work. You know, they were doing what they were supposed to. They didn't know any better. Why would these young girls lie? Like we already talked about. It wasn't a thing for kids to lie in the late 1600s. But I think eventually they bought into their own hype, kind of like you were saying, and they truly believed that they're doing God's work, and it didn't matter because they said that the devil was in these women, so the devil was in these women. They were the only ones at this point that could save the town from the devil. And so they had to keep going. They had to keep their mission from God going.
Well, I feel
in
like
their minds,
they had to fulfill their words as authority figures.
Like, right.
I mean, when you buy into that bullshit, I think that's a whole nother shindig topic. I mean, you could
over a whole year, none of them stopped to think like, there's no way all these people are possessed by the devil.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, what's going on here? I must be a kind of weak dick, psych. I'm going to kill everybody.
Yeah, haven't we scared the devil out of here by now? We've killed so many people? No.
Only I can stop the devil with piss cakes.
I have a hard time believing that the quote-unquote smart people of the time couldn't kind of see through that at some point, this is bullshit.
I'm sure they could, but then you get... Some people are just so convincing, and also you do not want to die.
And like, you don't want to lose your authority. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess losing your authority definitely equates to dying.
I mean, there's people who still think that somebody won the 2020 election that clearly didn't.
Well, I love the fact that they keep putting the timeline back too. Oh, it'll be May 4th. You know, he'll be back.
Look, back again. By 2097, we'll have the shit worked out. Stay tuned.
Have it figured out.
Got all the evidence here. Rudy Giuliani's got it, and the MyPillow guy, they've got it all. We'll bring it to light soon. Don't worry.
Well, you'll get your invite for the new social media platform soon, bro. So you just keep being American.
I guess he with his new, and that's a little bit of a tangent, he has this new website where he basically tweets to himself and anyone who looks at the website through his own platform, and he tried to build a Twitter account for the website that would just like repost whatever he put on the website, and it got suspended already.
Love it. I think that's fantastic.
Like, yeah, no, we know what you're doing here, dipshit.
Yes, you should stop that right meow.
So back to the witches. Do you have any other evidence that they would collect on these witches before we get to, you know, what they actually did with the witches?
I mean, not really. They would just...
No. Yeah, I think
we nailed that.
They basically said, you're a witch, and you're a witch. That was the end of it.
That was literally
at the end of the day.
Like, if these women did anything, if they sneezed, witch! You fucking goddamn witch!
So what do they do to the witches? Nick, you alluded to this earlier. Here's your time to shine. What happened to these ladies?
And these poor ladies, dude. I mean, these poor ladies and one dude.
I have five dudes.
Well, Really?
Yeah.
Maybe there's more. I don't really remember. 30 of these people were found guilty, and then 19 of whom were executed by hanging. And something I found, because I listened to the History Channel documentary on YouTube, which is like an hour and 6 minutes.
There you go.
And it was decent, but I mean, honestly, it was just like really dumb. They hyped it up so much. They're like, could the site of the Salem witch trials be behind this brewery? It's like, I don't give a shit, dude. Like, fucking for real, man.
I just gotta throw some random shit in there.
Oh, dude, they were so excited. They're like, we really gotta stretch this movie out. But there was a lot. There was one guy was just, his eyes are all wide, and he's like sweating while he's talking about it. He's like, yeah, this wasn't a hanging. This was a strangulation. So what they did is they rolled them off the ladder. Instead of dropping them a distance, they would basically have like 4 inches of rope attached to a log, and you would die from that.
Wow.
Yeah. Very, very tough. And then one other man, Giles Corey, was pressed to death for refusing to plead guilty. And 5 others died in jail. But I want to speak a little more about Giles Corey, because this dude had a nutsack on him like nobody's business.
So you're sticking with the hard G on Giles, because it's probably Giles.
Giles Corey.
It's just like Jif.
Yeah.
Or Gif. No, damn it.
Yes!
Lost my own
thing. I fucking win.
No, woo! It's still a Gif. I'm just going to cut damn that. Nobody
witch!
Ever heard it.
Witch! I heard it come. You, with your trickery of deleting my voice.
Not censor me.
You will not. I will not be censored. Cancel culture. Cancel culture.
I reserve the right to pronounce a soft G on GIF.
Well, not only that, I get to reserve the right to say that you're wrong and then try to convince everyone that it's true.
All right, let's talk about Mr. Corey.
Mr. Corey, so pressing is a really bad way to go. So they basically lay you down on a hard surface with a piece of wood or a flat surface, and then they start piling stones on top of you and slowly crush you to death. And this fucking guy, so this guy, last words were, more weight. And then he died. So, gotta give it to him. What a fucking thug.
He went down as not a witch, for damn sure.
Well, he didn't give anybody up.
I mean,
he's not gonna plead guilty. I ain't no goddamn witch.
No, and I think he was one of those like land dispute guys too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Giles Corey
like,
was.
He just got like thrown in there because somebody was pissed off at him.
He wasn't super loved, and there was another individual who said the Lord's Prayer. It was a man.
That was John Proctor. Yeah.
Yes, John Proctor. And everyone
man, Daniel
was like,
Day-Lewis in the movie.
Oh, I don't think. He's supposed to be able to do that, and all the religious people are like, yeah, oh yeah, that's the devil for sure. The devil could do it. Anyone else? No. No, but the devil.
Yeah, so I had, of the 19 people that were executed by hanging, including John Proctor, 14 were women, 5 were men, 4 different execution dates, with one person executed on June 10th, 1692. That was Betty, whatever her name was.
Betty Crocker.
No, not Betty Crocker.
Betty Page.
Bridget Bishop. Bridget was the first
Bishop.
One there.
We were way off there, guy.
Yeah. It started with a B, though.
Bitch.
5 were executed on July 19th, 1692, so just a month later. That was Sarah Good, Rebecca Nurse, Susanna Martin, Elizabeth Howe, and Sarah Wilds. Another 5 executed on August 19th, so it was just like every month. They're just like, let's fucking hang some people, guys. That was Martha Carrier, John Willard, George Burroughs, George Jacobs, and John Proctor. Your boy.
My boy, John Proctor.
And the final 8 were on September 22nd, 1692. That was Mary Easty, Martha Corey, Anne Pudeter, Samuel Wardell, Mary Parker, Alice Parker, Wilmot Red, and Margaret Scott. Several others, including Elizabeth Proctor and Abigail Faulkner, were convicted but given temporary reprieves because they were pregnant. Way to go, Bethy Proctor.
Yeah, they just threw him in prison instead.
5 other women were convicted in 1692, but the death sentence was never carried out. That's Mary Bradbury, Anne Foster, who died in prison, Mary Lacey, who was Foster's daughter, Dorcas Hoare, and Abigail Hobbs.
Which was the governor's wife?
That happened. It wasn't Rebecca Nurse. She was the old lady. I'm looking through the names here. Eastie, maybe?
I Mary just love it when it happens to them. They're like, oh, fuck, we gotta shut this down.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. It's all been bullshit the whole time. Nope, we're good. We're good.
Psych.
And some of the people, as we said earlier, they confessed and were kind of allowed to be free and reintegrated into society if they repented and also, you know, named some names.
Yeah.
That was their way out, pretty much.
Yeah, and if you don't,
we're gonna crush you to death.
Yeah, more weight, bitches. That is such... I'm still like, this guy fucks. You already know.
Yeah. Faux show.
Faux show. He's out here fucking everybody.
He's fucking those rocks.
Getting fucked by the rocks. Poor guy.
What would you do, Nick? We're going to talk about... This is the last segment of our podcast. We're going to talk about kind of what we would do in this situation or how it's affected us in our lives. So we've kind of already touched on this. You did not read The Crucible to your recollection in high school or haven't seen the movie, correct?
Correct. I'm sure it was assigned to me, but I'm guessing I threw that shit right in my locker and never opened it.
The Crucible is a play written by Arthur Miller of Death of a Salesman fame.
Ah.
Yeah. Good old Artie. So if you haven't read it, so I've read The Crucible 3 times in middle school and high school. Or I was assigned to read it 3 times. By the third time, I just fell asleep in class every one of those times. Every day during that, like, 2 weeks that we were going through it.
Have you ever heard of Spark Notes?
Well, I mean, like, in 7th grade, I was actually interested and read the assigned work. So I read it. And then in 9th grade, I kind of just, like, skimmed it and tried to remember the parts, you know? And then by 11th grade, I was like, no. Fuck that. I've done it twice, but I'm good. So I was assigned 3 different times. In school, 7th grade, 9th grade, and 11th grade. I'm not sure why my English teachers thought it was so important that we need to read it that much. What I can say is I went to a public school in 7th grade and then transferred to a private school for high school. So like between 7th and 9th grade, I was at a different school. So maybe it just wasn't part of the curriculum until 9th grade in the new school. But then I was in the same school for 9th and 11th grade. So I don't know why we read it there. But like, fuck The Crucible, okay?
They just ran out of shit to give you in a private school.
They're just pretty much.
Can't have you read Catcher in the Rye. That's a no-go.
No, we did read that, too.
Oh, you know, in 11th grade, you were like, hey, Mom, I got to rent this movie.
I'd already seen the movie twice by then, too. We watched the movie both times.
Twice?
In 7th and 9th grade.
200 times? Oh, they show tit in school?
So in 7th grade, because it was just the one scene right at the beginning. So in 7th grade... I think in both of them, we just skipped like the first minute. And they're like, this is what happens. They're in the woods having a sacrifice. Here you go. So, yeah.
Then one kid bursts out like, boobs! There's boobs! And then before you know it, there's a goddamn riot.
That's exactly what happened. How did you know?
I mean, I just have this intuition. I'm getting... My senses are telling me...
So...
You might be a witch.
As I say, fuck The Crucible, it's only because I had to read it that many times. It's actually, if you only read it once and watch the movie once, it's pretty interesting. The 1996 movie with Winona Ryder and Daniel Day-Lewis is pretty solid, too. I did just rewatch it. So I've seen that now 4 times. because I just rewatched it because I was kind of like half remembering all the stuff that happened in it, and I definitely didn't want to go back and read the play again. But the movie does such a good job of capturing the play because that's kind of an easy transition to make from play to movie that did the job for me, and I'm pretty sure in 11th grade I probably slept through it again. That was like my first thing that I ever fell asleep during school for, was reading The Crucible, and my English teacher called me out, and I'm like, I've done it twice, like I know what's going on, give me the test, I'll fucking do it, and then leave me alone, and that's what happened.
I'll ace this shit. I can tell you the exact second that boob appears.
So yeah, as I'm like reading through all this, I'm recalling the movie and the play in the back of my mind, and kind of like they use the names of all the real people. They really play it up as a real thing, and I think they do a good job of portraying what it was really like, how the girls bought into the hysteria, how it could snowball, you know, one accusation into another, and it also kind of captured the terror of the citizens that they might be the next one. they might be the next accused because they said or did something wrong to one of the accusers.
They're like, please don't kill me. Please.
And, you know, they both do a good job of setting the kind of religious and local structural squabbling around it as well. It's not just like these girls got up one day and decided to start accusing people. It's they did this thing in the woods, then they accused somebody that they didn't like, and then the next person accused somebody that was feuding with their family, and then the one girl had an affair with John Proctor, so she accused his wife, and like that kind of stuff. It sets up Abigail Williams was kind of behind the whole thing. She was threatening others to go along so people didn't find out what she was really up to. I think that was more to kind of give Winona Ryder more to do, because she played Abigail Williams, and Abigail Williams in real life was like 11 or 12, and they aged her up to 17, 18.
I thought she was like 9.
No, that was the other one. Betty Paris was 9, and Abigail Williams was like 11.
Okay.
So they had to kind of, like, they were going more to give her stuff to do rather than, like, strict historical context. And it never seems like mass hysteria. It was more, it always felt in the movie and in the play that it was mass, this is how I can get away with this shit. Of, you know, it seemed like these girls got caught doing something they weren't supposed to, and they found a way out of it by just lying for a year and getting a bunch of people killed. It didn't seem like hysteria took them over. It seemed like she got away with it, so I can get away with it. She got what she wanted out of it, I can get what I want out of it.
It's my turn.
That's at least how the play and the movie build it up.
Well, did we even mention the mold thing?
The mold?
Yeah. Ergot poisoning? About the
mold. No.
Yeah. One of the things I think contributed to the mass hysteria was ergot poisoning, which is basically a mold that grows on wheat, like flour and, you know, raw wheat and stuff like that. That really gets going in like warm, humid springs, especially prevalent in Massachusetts, and it causes hallucinations, paranoia, all kinds of stuff.
So historians are thinking that this is what's going on.
Basically, that they had a lot of leftover wheat from the winter, and as they went in spring, it had been, you know, infected with this fungus, and as they baked bread and stuff like that, and everyone, you know, ate this product because at the time bread was a majority of their diet.
That's interesting. Yeah, so I didn't look too much on like the
balls.
So we probably should have done more research on that, or I should have, of what now people think actually caused it, because I think that's interesting. We're kind of talking more about what happened and the thought processes of the people at the time. But what are historians looking back at it think is actually going on? And I think that's a really interesting point. And this has nothing to do with anything, but I thought it was interesting that I read on the IMDb page while I was watching the movie. So Abigail Williams was 12 at the time of the actual events, but they aged her up to 17 for the Crucible in the play, because Arthur Miller wanted her to have an affair with John Proctor to mirror his own adulterous relationship with Marilyn Monroe.
Nice.
So this playwright is just out here dicking down the president's girl and writing about it.
That's, I mean, that gotta be hurtful for the president.
I mean, Marilyn Monroe's got like a record here. I'm not slut shaming. Like she's got some A1 matchups.
She really does, dude. She didn't fuck around.
I mean, she did. Clearly.
You know what I'm saying.
Arthur Miller, JFK, come on.
Right.
Joe DiMaggio. All these guys.
Like, fuck sloppy 48s.
And it was also written during and heavily influenced by the McCarthy era Red Scare in America, which was, you know, the communist witch hunt. And it kind of all makes total sense why Arthur Miller would write this at the time, because he was even brought before one of these Red Scare tribunals and asked to name names and in Hollywood and things like that, and he wouldn't do it.
He's like, I know, bitch.
So he goes and writes the Crucible about kind of to reflect his own experience, which is, I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is kind of interesting. He's like, how do you like that, Kennedy? You fuck.
Okay, so now that's all I have on the Crucible. If anybody else has seen the Crucible this many times or read it this many times, let me know. I feel for you. It's hard. But it's interesting.
We're going to get someone that's like, I read The Crucible 385 times. It was great.
Then you're probably a witch.
Dang. Calvin's out here throwing shots.
So, Nick, if you were around in the 1600s, what would you have done? Would you have gone along with the trials? Would you try to stop them? Would you just play dumb? Like, what is your thought process? All right, I'm a 1600s dude out here making some wheat in Salem, and all this shit's going down.
I'd move the fuck away.
That was my first answer. Yeah.
I would be like, no. Fuck this. I'm out.
I'm just not dealing with it. Yeah.
No. I'm fucking good, dude. I ain't playing any of that bullshit. As soon as they start throwing...
It's not very easy to just, like, pack up and move in the 1600s, though.
I will fucking walk off. I don't even care. I mean, I'm willing to do it. I don't give a fuck. But, yeah, that's my
game. I strongly agree. Yeah, just, like, I'm out of here. You guys do what you want. Like, I think I would have tried to tell people that they're being dumb and... probably got myself accused most likely by telling people they're dumb. But I would have done it like on my way out. I'd be like, you guys are fucking stupid. These girls are making this shit up. Peace out. My horse is faster than your horse.
Well, after you just sell all your land and shit, it's like, hey, who wants to buy some land and all my farm gear? Yeah. You know, I'm going to get married to someone that's not from here.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to Kansas. There's none of this shit going on.
I hear this new dope-ass state of New York.
Manifest destiny, cool. Bitches.
Yeah.
Folks out there. I don't know that I would have, like, tried to stop anything necessarily, but I also wouldn't have been able to help myself from just being like, you guys are fucking dumb.
The kid thing would have been tough for me to... It depends on what point in my life. So, like, up till I had my kid, I would not have said shit. I would have just been like, let's go. Let's go, honey. We're going to get on our jalopy and get the fuck on out of here. But after having a kid, it'd be really tough to see them getting executed.
Yeah. And I don't know that... I definitely wouldn't have bought into anything or acted... And I also wouldn't have acted like nothing is going on, right? I wouldn't have just been going like, oh, nope, all totally cool. I get it. And I just think that's a different level of dissonance than like admitting something bad is happening. And then leaving so that myself and or my family doesn't get dragged into it. Like, you guys are fucked up, so I'm getting out of here. I wouldn't just be like, yeah, there's some weird stuff going on in Salem, so I'm getting out of here. And just pretending like it's nothing that bad.
Right.
I don't know that I could do that.
I would have a hard time doing that, too. But, I mean, I'm out.
Yeah. Audi 5000.
Yeah. Audi 5000. I don't even care.
Do you have anything else on witches or the Salem witch trials or Sabrina the Teenage Witch? Anything really?
No, I think I'm witched out. The Scarlet Witch is my new favorite witch of all the witches of Ipswich.
There you go. She's a good witch. I mean, I'm a Hermione Granger fan myself, but Scarlet Witch is all right.
Honestly, I never really considered Hermione Granger like a witch. Reason being is I just consider her a wizard.
I mean, that's understandable, but they're called witches in the historical texts.
You know, male, female denomination of magical user. I understand, but so you're a
gender fluid type of Hogwarts student.
I mean, I guess. I just always viewed her as a badass fucking wizard. Didn't really matter that she was a woman. You know what I'm saying?
There we go. Future minister of magic there, everyone.
I'm fucking woke, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to us rabble on about witches. Sorry you didn't get to hear about spies. We will not be coming back to it because this show is ending in 3 months and we already have everything planned out, and that is not on the agenda. So thank you for listening about witches. Come back next week as we do another selective listening on a great song that I'm not going to say. You guys just got to come back and see. It's not about witches, though.
You might be able to guess the time period it's from this next statement I'm about to make. It was one of 6 songs I had on my PSP.
There you go. So it was anywhere from like 2005 to 2009.
Gen 1.
Okay. There we go. Here's... make sure you check out at APA something on Twitter and at alone_podcast on Twitter. A lot of Twitter's going on out there. The Magic TV 3 podcast is coming soon in August, where we will be breaking down season 3 of everyone's favorite TV shows, starting with Breaking Bad. Stay tuned for a pilot episode on that too, because there's a lot of fun stuff coming there and a lot more fun stuff coming here over the next 3 months.
It's about to be bussin'.
Yeah. So just for the preview, we got that selective listening next week. Then we're going deep on Tommy Oliver from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And then we are we got Harry Potter movie superlatives. That's why Hermione was kind of fresh in my brain. We're watching some Harry Potter films lately, so
yeah, it'll be fun. I told my wife about that, and she's like, "Awesome!
Does she need Let's a, do this. Do we need a guest?
She would not do it.
Well, she is invited, as always. And as always, the music for a podcast about something is provided by Those Cats.
You gotta stay sassy.
Stay classy.